Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
Let's be honest, the bar is not real high right now.
Right.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
It sounds really cool.
No, it's not cool.
Can you bring a picture up?
Are you kidding me?
All foreigners love Chicago teams.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
A lot of booze, parties, women showing you the goods for beads. It doesn't get any better than that.
Smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
When I heard about this, I wanted to come up with some kind of articulate and thoughtful and, you know, well-debated response. This is just stupid.
Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter. @BackseatZach or @BackseatJack.
Ah, you are back in the backseat, the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati, and alongside James Troiano, Adam Tully is going to join us later. And James, you just returned from the Big Apple. You made a little trip up north, didn't you?
Yeah, I
how'd things go up there?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember. No, I'm just kidding. It was good. I was up there for little business trip,
right?
But you know, had some fun, some play mixed in with that business.
Yeah, and it sounds like you got to catch at least most of the last few games of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA. And after being down 3-2 to the Celtics, the Heat stormed back in Boston in Game 6 and finished the job in down on South Beach in Game 7. And LeBron delivered. LeBron delivered in a big way, 45 points in Game 6. Awesome performance. And then I think 31 points in Game 7. So here we are, Heat and Thunder, you know, the best young players in the NBA. And I think the fans are getting what they want. And I think, honestly, Stern is probably getting what he wants. I mean, you think both are in agreement there?
I probably. Mm-hmm. But why does everybody always ask if David Stern got what he wants? It's always that way.
Well, everyone I always ask, did Gary Bettman get what he wanted? Did Bud Selig get what he wanted?
Nah, they don't ask that like they do for basketball. They don't. They don't ask. Can I just say this? I was in New York for a week, Monday through Friday. So I was there for the middle two games. So a game in Miami and a game in Boston.
5 and 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have never seen so many New Yorkers root for Boston in my entire life. They
any sport.
I walked into I had a sample size of a few bars because I did some bar hopping just to go see the city a little bit.
Right.
And yeah, every bar that I went into, sure enough, they were all hating on the Miami Heat.
Do you think that just comes from like the old Knicks Heat rivalry? Do you think it comes from the fact that LeBron spurned the Knicks for, you know, when he left Cleveland? Does everybody just really hate LeBron?
I think it's just everybody hates LeBron.
Yeah.
It's
a shame. It's really a shame. After Game 6, when he had 45 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists. I mean, you know, they put up the side-by-side. The only players to ever do that are him and Wilt Chamberlain. Now, when you put that kind of stat up, now, see, that's the thing is, look, I never compare him to – I love LeBron. I never compare him to Jordan. I don't like when people do that in the first place, no matter which side they're taking, because they don't even play the same position.
Yeah, but you got to compare him.
Well, here's the thing.
I think that it serves LeBron well to be compared to Michael Jordan.
Right, but he's more physically gifted than Jordan.
Yeah, but
Jordan never pulled down 15 rebounds in a playoff game for a reason. He wasn't as big.
Yeah, but
– so you see what I'm getting at?
Yes, but when you are talking about being compared to Michael Jordan,
it's good.
You're getting compared to Michael Jordan because you have similar qualities of quality. You're like you are that excellent that you're being compared to Michael Jordan. If he wasn't being compared to Michael Jordan,
you're being flattered.
He would just be in this group of good players along with all these other guys. But you take the good with the bad. You get compared with Michael Jordan. That's good and that's bad because when you don't perform like Michael Jordan in big games, or you hadn't in the past, he's kind of doing it this year,
right?
You're going to get it. And I think the Celtics in this series were just kind of the more likable team because they went from being the Miami Heat in terms of popularity around the league to being the lovable old guys making one last run. And I think that was big on everybody's mind, even if you were in New York or in one of these like Atlanta where we're from, who the Celtics beat us every time we play them.
Right,
so,
right.
Down here. So, but it's a hell of a thing, those Miami Heat. And it's going to be a great series. And I don't know. What's your prediction?
Heat in six. And the only reason why I'm going six and
wait,
not...
Wait a minute. You're picking the Miami Heat? You, of all people, are picking the Miami Heat. Are you serious?
I'm going Heat in six. And the only reason why I'm not going seven... Look, the Thunder are... It's kind of scary. They're probably going to be the best team in the West for years. I mean, that's not exactly stepping out on a limb to say that. But first trip to the finals... And whereas last year the Mavs were the ones who acted more experienced, more mature, you know, and battle tested and calm under fire, you know, look, now these Heat players, Bosch has been to one finals, Wade's been to two, LeBron's been to two, and the Thunder have been to none. So I think the experience factor. All of a sudden, I think the Heat are going to look like the veterans. Which that wasn't exactly their selling point. This big three, you know, it wasn't the veteran factor. So, I'm gonna say six. I still don't like this format. I don't like this 2-3-2 business they do in the finals. You know what I mean? Like the whole postseason is 2-2-1-1-1, and then they do this 2-3-2, and I can't stand that.
It's a little more rough, I would say, on the team with the three in the middle.
Yeah,
because you have to win. You have to go there, win one, and then win three straight at home.
If you want to win it at home.
And winning on the road in the NBA in OKC is not easy.
It hasn't happened.
I think that this series, I like OKC in this series, and that's just because I really feel that they match up so well against the Heat that they have the ability to completely neutralize.
Right.
What the Heat do?
No, they
with
do.
Player, but they're gonna do it with guys like when the Celtics did it.
Right.
Why are you shushing me? Why are you shushing me? I'm talking. I'm in the middle of talking.
Adam Tully just made his entrance.
What is the matter? What is the matter with this guy? He comes in wearing his stupid polo with the number 8 on it.
Listen.
What is that? That's stupid looking. That's stupid looking. That England jersey is absolutely stupid looking.
Here's the problem. And we can get to this later, but soccer is the only sport where someone will cockwalk around in their jersey after a tie. It's the only sport where that will happen.
Hey, bro, it was a good tie.
It was a good tie, but it's the only...
First of all, they got one shot on goal, and it happened to go in. That's all they need, baby. That's what Tully says. That's all they need, baby.
All right.
Back to a sport that
people watch.
Americans care about. Yeah. I love soccer. Don't no.
I do too. But we're businessmen here.
That's right. Look, I think that the Thunder can neutralize what the Heat do. All right, back to what I was saying before he interrupted me. Yes, I remember where I was at. The Celtics had to use all of their abilities mm-hmm. to slow down the Heat. Mm-hmm. That by the time they had to play offense, they were exhausted.
Right.
And that's because they needed Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, Kevin Garnett, right. Brandon Bass. These guys needed to guard the Heat, and they had trouble. Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. That guy, they just put that guy in the corner. Like, if someone's in the corner, stand there. And if someone's not in the corner, run around. That's what they did. All right. But the
may have been part of the reason why Chris Bosh hit three threes.
Yeah.
In game
seven. Well, Ray Allen was not in the corner then. I don't know where he was.
I don't know if any center has ever hit three threes in the game seven of the playoffs. I don't know if that's ever happened.
No,
ever.
I don't know. But the Thunder can actually neutralize some of what the Heat do without having to waste their superstars. Like they have Thabo Sefolosha.
Yeah.
Who can guard anybody in the NBA.
Yeah.
So they're going to put that guy on Dwayne Wade all series and say, beat him, and then the rest of our guys are going to be good to go.
And Sefolosha is going to do it.
Yeah, he's going to slow down Wade. Wade is not the Dwayne Wade that won the title in 06.
Nope.
So if you put two and two together there, I don't know how you can say other than a performance of 30 from each of those guys consistently every game, mm-hmm. And a good 30, not a 30 where Dwayne Wade shoots like 2 for 15 and then turns it on. He's not going to have time to do
right.
that.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, he's not going to turn it off.
An efficient 30
right.
for each of
like,
them.
Yeah. It's going to have to be good work. Right. They're going to have to put in some work.
Let's say the Thunder win the finals, all right?
Yeah.
Regardless of how it happens, whether it's in 4 or 7, it doesn't yep. matter. Let's say Thunder win the finals. You think we're not going to see the same faces playing in Miami, or maybe not just playing, but you don't think we're going to see the same faces next year in Miami?
No, I think 1 of 3 or maybe 2 of 3 are gone. And LeBron is not going to go anywhere.
Nope.
He's the best player in baseball.
No,
baseball, basketball. They're not going to trade him.
Well, it's not just that. It's they would look foolish for signing him in such a dramatic fashion 2 years ago and then dealing him.
It wouldn't even be, the talk of the Heat, if the Heat traded LeBron James, the talk of the Heat being foolish wouldn't even get to the fact that they signed him and then traded him. It would be that they traded the best player in basketball. Okay, it wouldn't even get that far. Like,
all right.
Did they give up too much when they signed him? No, because it would be like, you're an idiot.
All right, now, what do you think happens with the Celtics now? Because we all know it's not going to be the same.
This is easy.
Yeah.
This is easy.
Well, listen, I've got a prediction for you, and I want you to tell me how you feel about it. Because you living here in Atlanta for a while and attending Hawks games, you know how likely this actually could be.
Yeah.
Ray Allen, a Hawk next season. And listen, because you know how the Hawks are. They will sign Ray Allen and they'll make it seem like it's the biggest signing you've ever heard of. When we all know it really wouldn't be.
I think that's very likely. It's likely that the Hawks get a shooter. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be Jason Terry or Ray Allen. We might see a Jason Terry homecoming. but they're gone.
But
Garnett's gone.
You know what I mean?
Ray Allen's
the culture around
the
way that team is, the Hawks are marketed. They would sign Ray Allen and they put billboards up all over and act like, you know, how old is he? Like 37 or something? They'd act like it was the biggest signing you would ever, you know, encountered in the city.
I'm tired of watching this Hawks team. So I would prefer that the Hawks just trade Josh Smith. Marvin Williams.
Yeah.
Keep Al Horford, but just start signing guys like Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, re-sign Tracy McGrady, Vladimir Radmanovich, and let's just get a good 90s all-decades team in here. Just like NBA 2K. Just get a good all-90s decades team down here and throw them out there and see if you can't sell some tickets.
All right. Well, look, just to cap it off, you said Thunder. You have a length prediction. You think it's going to be 7-game series, 6?
I think it's going to be 6 games. I think that the Thunder are going to be able to win it on that 6th game, and they're going to go ahead and close it out at home.
So, are you going to predict that the Heat just win 2 games in Miami, Oklahoma City takes 1 down there, and then that's it? They get to close it out at home.
I think that's
about how way it sounds, right?
I think that OKC takes both at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both
then
at
one
home.
One in Miami.
At least one in Miami. Yeah. They might take 2 in Miami. I think that this first game on Tuesday might be a blowout, and that's just because I don't think the Heat are going to be prepared for what OKC is going to do to them.
We'll see. I mean, I don't think there's any getting rusty with Oklahoma City because we already had that question before they had to play San Antonio, or I think maybe one of their other series.
No.
So we're going to talk Euro 12. Each team has played 1 match so far in this Euro 12 tournament. That's coming up next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
Ah, that is on Twitter at backseatzach and at James Troiano. James, Troiano. Adam Tully has joined us, as he did in the last segment, rudely interrupting our NBA Finals talk.
Yeah.
But he's joined us for some discussion of the Euro 12 tournament so far. And you know, we really got lucky here because we're recording Monday night. Each nation has played 1 match.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had a chance to see everybody. Where we got unlucky is the fact that the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 6, is going to begin in 10 minutes.
Yep.
So, oh well, that's the life of sports radio or
hey,
podcasting.
Man.
And, you know, we'll talk about that next week. But Euro 12, James and I are pretty much in agreement that Russia was the most impressive team so far. And as I like to say, that 4-1 victory over the Czech Republic, that wasn't like a goofy 4-1. That looked like 4-1. You know what I mean? That they deserved a 4-1 result.
I agree with that. But actually...
Oh, God.
Actually, I think Italy impressed me the most, actually, so far.
Okay, impressed you relatively or just pure
result?
I
think only because of... If the Czech Republic, they just looked all over the place. I mean,
yeah.
they
Well, so did
they
Ireland.
Did, but, you know... Yeah, yeah. They did, unfortunately. I had Ireland going to that
Me
one.
Me too. Yeah.
I didn't.
No, he was all over Croatia.
Or England. For that matter, I didn't.
But no, I mean, Italy, you look at who they played.
They played Spain.
They played the reigning champions of the earth and Europe.
Pretty much for the last 4 or 5 years.
And you know what was funny is I was watching Italy yesterday and they looked so capable.
Yeah, I mean,
and they didn't look like they didn't look distracted at all.
That's the thing. The two big things for me was obviously there's the whole scandal thing, unfortunately, going on. I mean, Buffon literally might be going to jail when he gets back home. like no joke. I mean, so to have that in your mind and to be able to focus and play like that. And,
maybe
you know,
this is just an Italy thing because they did win the World Cup after the match-fixing scandal in 06. Yeah. And they won the World Cup in the 30s under the pressure of being executed by Mussolini. So yeah. Maybe they just play better with some stress around them.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a little too relaxed when nothing bad's going on. No, but Di Natale, what a sub in that game. I think he scored like 3 minutes after coming
that's
on.
That's a guy who just deserves his due. I mean, that's... for a guy that's so prolific for his club, he just never gets called up for the national.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole team. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of guys. It's not the old team of like, you know, that won it in 06. You know, Inzaghi.
No, that was,
all those guys aren't there anymore.
Zambrotas and Cannavaro. Yeah, that was the generation of players who were all peaking at the right time.
These guys are all, I mean, I didn't know half the team.
The Italian team.
Yeah. I didn't realize. But there was like, you know, they had a lot to prove, I guess.
They're talented players that just haven't made like a superstar name for themselves, especially maybe not for country. I mean, like, look, Di Natale, they were talking about how well he's done for club, but, I mean, we don't have any.
I mean, he's prolific
for
a club.
But we just don't have any
country. Bad team.
We don't have any international experience to speak of yet.
Because, I mean, a lot of them are young, so they haven't gotten a chance.
Di Natale's not.
Di Natale's not he's not guys. Young, but
Pirlo's
he's
35.
He just had better strikers in front of him, you know, making the cut in front of the past few tournaments.
I think that they could, but they didn't. I don't even think they included him in the last World Cup cycle.
They didn't. They were bad. That's, they were bad in 2010.
Yeah, made some mistakes.
Going back to Russia, I agree. Russia played really well, and I wouldn't be surprised to see if Russia goes all the way to the semis,
The reason why I think Italy's performance was amazing. Frankly, because I think pretty much people thought Spain was going to roll that team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what I liked about Russia was the fact that they didn't mess around. Sometimes in soccer, when you'll get a team that the other team won't be playing that well, and they'll also look like they can't get it done. Yeah,
they play down to the level.
The game just kind of gets into this weird, those kind of games end like 2-2.
Yeah.
Or something. You know what I mean? And I just thought Russia just looked like they were on a mission.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they did. They jumped on them right from the start. And, you know, I was telling James earlier, I mean, the Russian hockey team could take some advice from the Russian soccer roster, because Russian hockey players kind of have a stigma of being prima donnas and not exactly being like hard work guys, but that's not what the Russian soccer team looked like.
No.
They looked like ready to pounce for
90
minutes.
They looked like they shocked the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic just almost at the end of the first half is like, what? They had no idea what was going on.
Well, I don't think the Czech Republic has the players at this point.
Right.
I honestly, at this point, I see him bottom of the group.
Russia's, all of a sudden, definitely the favorite to come away on top in Group A. That's, like you just said, Czech Republic, Greece, and Poland are the other two teams in that group. Now, look, it's very, very, very rare that a team wins their opening game, gets the 3 points, and gets a +3 goal differential, and then doesn't make it out of the group. I mean, Russia's almost certainly going to make it out of the group after that.
Mm-hmm.
And Greece and Poland, we'll see what sorts out there. James, you said last week you like host advantage.
I like Poland.
In these international tournaments. And look, they didn't look bad at all. And Lewandowski.
No, Poland looked extremely good in that first half. The second half, they almost were polar opposites.
It was a weird match.
Of what they were.
Poland has issues at goalie and defense.
Yeah, it's funny. I made a comment. I would have hated to be the commentator for that Greece-Poland game because some of those names were ridiculous.
There's like no name shorter than 10 letters.
No.
The
Greek defender, his last name couldn't fit on the back of the jersey.
It starts on like one kidney and goes up.
So they had to put his first name on the back of the jersey.
Seriously, it's like pop-dop-a-coppola-pop-a-dop-a-dop-a-deuce-less.
Sounds like ingredients in shampoo or something.
Yeah.
All right. So Group A, look, like we know what direction that's gone. Russia, I mean, just obviously the favorite.
Who do you see coming through? You say Russia is going top. Who finishes second?
And look, like I had Russia coming out, but I didn't think it was like I didn't think like they were going to look like that. I had the Czech Republic also. I thought they still had the talent, but man, it's going to take a turnaround that usually doesn't happen in the span of 8 days for them to make it out. No, so, yeah, I mean, it probably is going to be Poland.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Czech Republic.
Yeah, but like
two.
Milan Baroš and some other guys are going to have to play like it's 7 years ago.
Yeah,
you know,
Milan Baroš.
For them to come out.
Get out of here.
Group B, and look, we called this the group of death, and it was Ian Dark said the group of debt the other day. That was good because Portugal finds himself in this group. But Germany, Portugal, look, James, you said Portugal is good. They're capable. They're talented. But Germany, man,
they did what we
expected
them
to do.
And it was 1-0. I thought that Portugal were unlucky. I thought that could have been 1-1.
Now Ronaldo, like they need to get him the ball in ways they were not getting him the ball.
Well,
they don't exactly have
a class striker. Like Helder Postiga isn't exactly.
Going
to strike fear into your
hearts, was a point, but if you were watching that match where they said Ronaldo's got like 9 touches and it was like almost halftime.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
just not acceptable if you're Portugal.
I mean, I expected Germany to actually take that. It could have easily, you're right, it could have easily been a tie game.
Either way.
But
yeah.
the thing with Ronaldo with me, obviously, no doubt, great player. I mean, would he get like 40-something goals or something stupid like that for Real Madrid?
If you
year?
Combine the competitions, I think he got like 60.
Yeah, it is ridiculous what he got this year at club level. But it's just for some kind of reason, I don't know why, and a lot of players have this issue, big name players.
Wayne Rooney.
Because he hasn't really done anything since 2004, which is the last time we were in Euros. England was. But yeah, Cristiano, just same thing. He didn't really show up.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you play in club like the way that Messi and Ronaldo do, it's a little tough to like match that. When you're playing for your country, it's just a little tough. And Messi's kind of the same way. He's had some criticism because the way he's played for Argentina. It hasn't been, like, amazing, the way what he's done for Argentina.
I think that Messi has an excuse because he's playing with players that are almost of equal talent at what they do.
So he kind of has to, like,
so he has, you have to defer sometimes.
I mean, that you're right. That Barcelona team that won the Champions League last year was pretty much tipped as one of the greatest soccer teams ever.
Well, you mean Argentina also, like when he's on the field.
I'm talking about when he's on the field I'm talking about when he's on the field with Argentina.
Yeah, because look at the last World Cup cycle in 2010. I mean, I think I remember the Tevez goal against Mexico, obviously an incredible.
Hey, bro, you getting a call right now? What's more important than talking about Euro 2012 right now?
We got a studio phone going off here. He's got to defer. I think that Argentina-Mexico game, second round in 2010, Argentina won like 3-1. I don't think Messi was one of the scorers. Tevez scored a rocket. And he's got gross talent all around him when he plays for country.
Yeah, and I think Ronaldo, it's the opposite. I think that he needs to understand that that team isn't going anywhere unless he's the focal point of everything that they do. And they have Nani right on the other side. And I mean that doesn't get any better than that. That's world class.
Can you imagine for a second if Ronaldo had been, if the age difference was just a little bit adjusted, if he had been old enough to play with Figo, Rui Costa, Conte Chao, some of those other Portuguese golden generation players.
Yeah.
Goodness. I mean, things could have been. Nuno Gomes was really good for a little while in the early 2000s. I mean, wow, that could have been an incredible team. Because they were really good in 2000, the Euros. Yeah. And 2002, they didn't live up to. Yeah, right. And they made it to the final as hosts in 2004. So, Yeah, that would have been something else. But look, we're neglecting Denmark. A week ago, James, I said we didn't even give them any attention. I said poor Denmark. That was all we said about them. I said, oh, poor Denmark. They're in a group with Germany, Holland, and Portugal. All right. So not only do they win their opening game against Holland, they shut them out, and they're sitting pretty right now. They are completely even with Germany because they've both got 3 points and they both have the +1 goal differential. So Denmark is in good shape here, and if they can get, I don't know, if they can fight to maybe a draw in either the Germany or Portugal game, they might be able to get out.
I don't think that's happening. I don't. I think that was a nice win, and I think that it kind of sealed the deal. I don't think the Netherlands are getting out of that group. I still like Portugal.
Right.
But
because the Netherlands play, who do they play next?
Next, it's gonna be Denmark, Portugal next, and then it's gonna be Holland, Germany. That Holland Germany game is gonna be something else.
Almost, yeah. That game that's gonna do it for the Dutch.
Because it's Dutch.
That's almost a must win.
And that's exactly the thing.
That is a must win. You can't tie that.
It is desperation time for Holland, and guess who it's desperation time against? Probably the best team in the world right now, and your border rival.
And you have
that's gonna be some kind of match.
Well, you have no confidence because. That's the thing with the Dutch. It seems like sometimes they start hitting posts and missing, and then they're like, "Oh, we can't score."
That's exactly what it is. They always have great talent.
I'm sure you remember the match in Euro 2000 when they faced Italy in the semifinal, and I think Zambrotta got sent off in like 20 minutes in, and Italy spent the entire match with like 10 men behind the ball, and Holland could not score, and then they missed like two penalties in regulation, and then lost in a shootout. Yeah. That speaks to like exactly what you're saying. I mean, they just couldn't.
It's body language, man. I mean, it's body language.
That's almost how that game with Denmark went. I mean, I saw it was like a little graphic of like where all the shots.
I saw they took like 26 shots.
Yeah, 26 shots, but like they like dotted them all around like graphic of like a net, and it was like a constellation. It was just like it's just dots everywhere.
They weren't hitting
18 yards in the middle.
It's the problem with that team is that they have individual skill and they have a lot of it.
Oh yeah.
And it comes together sometimes, but it's not coming together right now.
Right.
And guys like Wesley Sneijder, who had a terrible club season, and Arjen Robben, who had a great club season, but you know had that Champions League final meltdown.
Less than three weeks before the tournament started.
They look like they have nothing left right
Well, so you think Portugal is going to win their games against Holland and Denmark, and that's about going to do it.
I like Portugal. I think they're going to beat Denmark, and I think that they're going to tie Holland.
And you think that's going to be enough
because I think Holland's going to lose to Germany.
I see Portugal beating Denmark, but I still see Germany and Holland going through in this group.
How do you say that's going to happen? Do you think that Holland's going to have to beat Portugal for that to happen?
Yeah, but so you're they're going to go through.
Holland's going to beat
they're
Portugal.
They're going to go through with two losses.
I just see them as better than Portugal.
So you think they're going to beat Portugal? Maybe draw Germany?
Yeah,
because they are better,
but they're not playing better.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Group C, and this is we touched on Italy and Spain. This was the group that played on Sunday. Look, Italy and Spain, that was a good game to watch, but James, I told you when you were coming back down from Pennsylvania, Italy looked very capable. Spain, they just look like they aren't even fazed by playing in group stage anymore. Like, it's like they're better than it.
Well, they're going to get out of
it. There was no sense of urgency. And I don't know, I don't know if you noticed that with Spain. They didn't exactly look like they needed to play hard against Italy. Fernando Torres isn't doing it.
We talked about that, and then I did some research, and I don't know if it's that or if it's that Spain right now doesn't have a lot of quality forward options.
They don't.
And they're having
trouble.
They played
six midfielders.
Right, yeah. and then they brought on Fernando Torres, and it was just not him.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think that he serves a purpose even when he's not scoring because he occupies defenders and he lets some of these guys run around. Like guys aren't afraid of.
No, you're right.
I know he scored, but guys aren't afraid of Cesc Fabregas running around the attacking
third. He's never really impressed me.
No, I mean,
they're
not.
Even stuff he does with Arsenal, I'm like,
Yeah, I mean, that was a very Spanish goal they scored.
Just put a forward in, at least one. Somehow they left Robert Soldado off this roster. I don't even know how they did that. And who else? And they have.
Well, they've got a lot. They're just like England. They've got a lot of injuries. I mean, they literally played six midfielders.
Yeah, but I think Soldado's.
You're right though. You ask any team. Hey, do you want Torres?
Yeah, we'll take him. Right now,
we'll make room for him.
All right. Yeah. Well, the second game yesterday, it was the night game over there. In Ukraine and. Ireland and Croatia, and we covered this last week. Ireland is my surprise pick.
And I just don't think it's gonna save our buddy Mike some heartache, and don't assess that one.
Ireland, the first like 20 minutes, man. Croatia scored 3 minutes in. Ireland scored equalized in the 19th minute, I think. And I was thinking, man, this is gonna be a good game. No. And then Ireland didn't have anything left on the offense, and then their defense was just abysmal.
I don't. You guys both picked Ireland, and I was just thinking to myself, what do they have that you are impressed with?
I wasn't picking Ireland based on paper.
Here's why I picked Ireland to actually win it. Croatia, for a couple years now, has always been a little iffy, almost like the Czech Republic. They've just been a little.
They're kind of there.
Up and down. Yeah,
they're kind of there. Yeah,
and
I know.
They got Trapattoni, right? Who's the manager?
Ireland does.
Of Ireland. Yeah. And you know, he's obviously by the name, he's Italian, right? So he's got Ireland playing that Italian style of soccer. Not only that, they've come into this tournament.
I don't know about that, Tully, because their defense looked absolutely terrible.
I'm still back on Trapattoni's Italian.
I'm just for the viewers who are not, you know, traditional soccer, you know, listeners and wouldn't recognize the name.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well,
yeah.
Someone can tell you that's Italian without even being a soccer fan.
I'm just giving you help.
But look,
Listen. Anyways, Ireland was, 20 games unbeaten going into this tournament?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, must have gotten an easy draw. But listen, next up in this group, Italy and Croatia.
That is
going to be a good game, and we're gonna find out both of those teams. And James, I think you said that was the game you're most interested in seeing in this group when we did the preview episode last week. Italy and Croatia. Someone is, if that game is not a draw, someone is going to be in really good. If Italy was to win that game, this group is going to get real, real interesting.
Yeah,
because Croatia will have a win, Italy will have a win, and in Spain, look, Ireland looked terrible, but the pressure is going to be on with Spain if Italy beats Croatia earlier in the day.
They're gonna get pounced on.
Yeah, if Ireland does a repeat performance of that against Spain,
they might lose like 4-0,
if not more. That's just gonna be bad. So yeah, back to the drawing board.
I think you're onto something. I think that this could be one of those flameouts like that we see where Ireland goes out with like they might give up 12 goals.
Between the two games.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in one game.
Well, but listen, like I said,
between the two games.
But if Italy beats Croatia and they get a win on their board and Croatia already has a win, Spain, I mean, it's going to get interesting with those three, Italy, Croatia, and Spain trying to battle it out.
If somebody comes out a winner in that game,
if Croatia wins, they're through.
Yeah, you can safely say that one of those guys, whoever wins, is going to see first place. But if that's tie, that group is still wide open.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
And if just say Ireland ties Spain.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Just play that card. It is wide open.
Let's just say if there's two draws on that day. Yeah. If there's two draws on that day, it's wide open.
Wild open. That's gonna be one hell of a last day.
Tully, let's get to your home country, your nation of birth. Group D, England and France faced off today, and yep. Tully, you got to be happy with the draw against France.
I was.
France is definitely the most talented team in that group, and England had. Look, and you know, I mean, you've told me, England always has drama, always before an international tournament. They had their fair share of drama this time. It was a typical England spring before a international tournament. And listen, man, they looked unaffected on the field.
Yeah,
they looked mentally composed. They looked like they were prepared for the match. It looked like they watched their tape and strapped up their boots and they went to work. And look, they got a good result out of this. Now, I have to play the host next, so that's, you know, that's not exactly, I'm sorry, they have to play the host last, but they play Sweden next. But,
yeah.
I mean, with Ukraine getting the win today, how do you feel about the likelihood that England can just put Sweden to bed? Because if England beats Sweden, Sweden's out.
If we can go either a win, maybe we'll go 1-1 the rest of the group stage, I see us going through, which was my prediction. If we go, we'll go through second place. Goal differential, or obviously head-to-head is the first tiebreaker. But yeah, I don't see us losing to either Ukraine or Sweden. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I mean, I watched the game today. Neither of them looked impressive to me.
James, do you think there's a chance Ukraine could beat England?
I actually call them Stinkland. Because
so stupid.
That's so stupid. First of all, like,
that's so stupid. That's so stupid. Why are you saying that word?
Because look, I can back this up with this.
No, you can't. You don't even know what you're talking about.
First of all, you scored one goal on one shot, and it came from Frankenstein.
You mean Julian Lescott?
Yeah, that guy looks like Frankenstein.
When they scored that, I said our Scarface is better than your Scarface.
Wow, that's not rude or anything.
Because he got Ribery.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
My brother like tweeted Vinny. My brother Vinny is a funny guy, and he tweeted that In the in the last Wolfman movie, it should have been Frank Ribery instead of Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, see. Wow.
It's just true. That's an ugly guy.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
no,
look, if you're that guy, you're like, I know I'm ugly, but at least I'm talented. I'm good at something, right?
Yeah.
That's what you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like
yeah.
if you're John Lescott, except you're not even good at something. You're just ugly.
Yeah. No, I mean, this was the game that I was worried about.
Well, and
not to say that Ukraine and Sweden would be pushovers. This was the game I was worried about.
This is what England fans tie a team like France, who they thought they were going to lose to, and now they're back to being England fans. They're all going to show up to the game. They're all going to show up to the game and go, oh, yeah, we should beat these teams easily. I'm looking for us to beat Ukraine.
That has been said, but come on. Seriously?
I'm looking for us to kill Ukraine by 4 goals. And Sweden, we might as well not even play Sweden. They should just forfeit right now. And I'll see you next round because we're going to win the group.
Tully, you're not at least a little bit worried about playing Shevchenko in Ukraine?
No.
In Kiev?
No.
I think is where he plays.
Donetsk.
Here's why. I think
that's where he plays his club soccer. Did you know that?
Great.
He's back.
See,
I've been saying he's back.
And so is the England fan. And so is the
England fan. He's back.
I've said this.
I don't care about any.
Get out. Dude, on Friday night at the Braves game, Tully was like, oh, man, we've had a lot of drama. I just don't know. Now it's like,
no.
We're not losing from here on out.
I'm calling. I'm calling it a loss to Sweden.
No.
Right. Yeah, I'm calling it.
A loss to Sweden next.
Listen,
hey,
what have I been saying for
months?
You
can't play like.
Do you remember the World Cup in 2010? We tied England, and then we tied Slovenia, and then we beat Algeria, and then England tied. I'm sorry, did you guys beat Slovenia in 2010? No, you tied them.
We tied them. Yeah,
you tied all three matches,
basically,
and you got through second.
Yeah.
And I said, agreed. USA was the best team in the group. Tully goes, I don't know.
I don't know. What didn't you know about
it?
I don't know.
We won the group, right? It was the first time the USA had ever won a group in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I said, USA, best team in that group this time, right? And he goes, I don't know about that.
You're the best team in the group. You win the group.
Okay, what did you just say? You're downplaying England because it's had one shot to score one goal. The U.S. scored on the last kick of the game in the 93rd minute to get group.
Oh, then it doesn't
team.
Count. It doesn't count.
Well, I'm just saying it. And then they're
doesn't
the best
count.
Team? No.
What do you mean? They won the group.
Yeah, we both,
that's
hey,
why they're the
we
best team.
We both won out the next game anyway. So
well,
really
I know who the best team is right now.
Well, you guys went out 4-1. And
they're across the pond, pal.
They all are. All 16.
All right. Look, we've had a good look at all of the nations competing in Euro 12. And like we said, Russia was the most impressive just by pure performance. And Italy probably... overachieved. Not necessarily overachieved.
I think
Italy, relative to what they were expected, they looked best because they were playing defending champions.
It was almost like a coming out party for the new is a new Italian team.
Guys like Montolivo.
That's a good way to put it. I think that like other than this last World Cup because they stunk it up, but I think that Italy, like I like these old European power teams because I feel like they're proud guys and they want to prove, especially in these European tournaments, that they're still around. You know, they don't want to concede that they might have fallen a tier below like a Spain or a France or somebody that they're favoring now. So they come out and they play these games tough. And if you can't convert your chances like Spain didn't, you're going to tie them or lose to them. And that's what happened.
That was a funny thing. Italy, you know, Spain was the team that knocked them out in Euro 08.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like their last Euro tournament game, was getting knocked out in the semis by Spain. In I think Switzerland or whatever it was last time, and then so now the very next time they play Euro game, they look a lot better. They tie him, and you know we'll see what happens from here on out. We'll be recapping it every weekend until the finale there in Kiev or Warsaw.
I don't know. Did they flip a coin for that?
It's all the same. I don't know. I think it's Warsaw.
Cool.
Anyway, all right. We are going Hottie and Naughty coming up next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
Listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at @BackseatZach or at @BackseatJ.
That is on Twitter at @BackseatZach and at James Troiano. James, Troiano. And you are back from New York. We've got a lot of hotties and naughties that really kind of span the globe here, just like you've been doing lately.
I've just been everywhere except for Atlanta, and I'm ready to just kind of be home for a little bit and just chill out.
This is Hottie and Naughty. Who had a bad week? Who had a good week? And our first hotties right now, dual hotties here, yeah. Rafa Nadal and Maria Sharapova. They were the men's and women's winners of the French Open. Maria Sharapova has now completed her career slam. She's won every slam. She's always a hottie in our book, right? I mean, we all like Maria.
Yeah, she could lose every match for the rest of her life and she's still...
But then she wouldn't be on TV, so...
Top of the hottie list.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And Rafa Nadal is a hottie because he has now won his seventh French Open, really the best clay court player ever. He's lost one match at the French Open in his life. One. That is unbelievable.
What, like, can you name another sport where a guy can just, like, he has a specialty where he's still above average everywhere else, but he just dominates.
Right, right.
And it's like, it's not even, it's like he just walks into that tournament every year and just goes, I'm going to win.
Yeah, it's kind of like the down by contact thing it's just something freakish, like in the NFL you have to be down by contact. What if there was a receiver that was really good at sliding under people and you played on ice? I mean, that's the only thing I can compare it to. Our first naughty of the week is the sport of boxing. Apparently a shameful decision. We didn't get to see it because boxing doesn't want people to see their matches.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see the Pacquiao Bradley fight on Saturday night, which was given to Bradley in a split decision. And apparently this was an awful, awful decision. You said some experts said generous at best 9-3 Pacquiao on the round count.
Yeah, I was reading something or other and they said that if you were going to be extremely
generous
to Bradley,
mm-hmm.
you were gonna give him a 9-3
right.
round disadvantage to Pacquiao. I look, and this is not my demographic. This is somebody else's boxing. This is for old people.
Right.
If you're trying to sometimes I'll try to like boxing.
Right.
And I'll try to get into it. This stuff like this just. It's just dishonest.
And it's frustrating.
It's not a good product.
And it makes you say, yeah, forget it. I'm not into boxing.
Well, what's the difference between this and WWF?
That's true. I mean, if it's going to be completely corrupted, then it ruins.
You know the outcome before it starts,
or you
think you do.
Our next hottie is LeBron James for obvious reasons. Something like 76 combined points in games 6 and 7 when they were down 3-2 against the Celtics.
And actually, like LeBron, this postseason needs an asterisk next to his stats. It needs to say
played with Dwayne Wade
after he warmed Wade up. Because he does nothing. He does nothing before warming Wade up, other than dish the ball to Wade, who he doesn't even get assists for, because Wade misses every shot. So it's no stats.
In all fairness to Wade, he makes some good plays in the third and fourth quarter. He usually does. He'll make a few good plays, but LeBron went just absolutely insane. And as Jeff Van Gundy said. And it's true, nobody has a night-by-night pressure like LeBron James, and he really, really delivers.
And I think that it's people just want to hate him so bad. It just seems to me like when you're watching the game, LeBron does stuff consistently great all game, and then Dwayne Wade drives, gets fouled, and throws it up and makes it, and everyone also, Dwayne Wade!
It's the Flash!
Woo!
Our next naughty is, you know what, I wrote their names down here. They're not naughties, but the Australian Olympic Committee is. Swimmers Nick D'Arcy and Kenrick Monk, these are Australian Olympians, are going to have to leave the London Olympics, I think on the second or third day of the event, right after they get done with their meets, because they posted to Facebook a picture of themselves at a firearm shop in California holding some guns.
Guns aren't cool, bro.
Yeah, the Australian Olympic Committee says that it's a controversial picture, that it's worth punishment, and that it encourages public debate.
Yeah, I don't like public debate.
I don't like public debate or guns.
So that's a hottie in my book. Go Australia.
Oh man, I really feel bad for those guys. I really do. And they said that they were putting a self-imposed ban on themselves on no social media, I think, until after the Olympics are over. But there was never any explanation for what was wrong with the picture, other than it's controversial. That's it. Our next hottie is Russia. They're the best team so far. First impressions, right? In Euro 2012, I mean, they beat the Czechs 4-1 and looked really good doing it. It looked like 4-1. You know, it wasn't a fluke couple of goals. It looked like 4-1.
What's cool about Russia is that They don't have a ton of high-end talent, individual right. guys that stick out. They play really well as a team on the international level, and that's why they do right. good in these tournaments. And they always qualify, and they do good, and they usually qualify for the World Cup. So yeah. they're fun to watch.
Russia-Czech Republic sounds like a great hockey game at the at the Olympics, but it was an entertaining soccer game if you like to watch some wide-open attacking. But the funny thing about what you just said is their hockey team, I think, could take some advice from their soccer team and play with like a lot more hard work and humility because they're, you know, Russian hockey players are known to be a little bit of prima donna, but man, they look good in their opening match at Euro 2012. Yep. Our last naughty of the week is Khalif Wyatt. James, he's a rising senior at Temple University, and he got caught and arrested in a prostitution sting in Philadelphia. Now, typically, when you are a jock on a college campus, you don't really feel the need to resort to prostitution for your services. So, girls in Philadelphia are really cute, right? Like, he didn't need to go that route.
Have you ever seen the campus of Temple University?
I haven't. Am I giving them too much credit?
If you walk... No, it's not. Look, I'm sure look, there's a lot of lovely women that live in Philly and that go to Temple, but if you walk a block outside of that campus, you are in the straight Gito.
At Temple.
You are there. You are, like, where the guns are banging. Like, it's gangster land. Like right outside of Temple. So
he had plenty of opportunity.
I can understand. I can understand how a kid might get caught up in some of this stuff when that's what you have so close to the campus. And I'm sure a lot of those guys are Temple basketball fans that perform in illegal activities, and they probably entice this young man who obviously does not have a lot of brains.
Right.
It's a shame.
This country is going straight to hell.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. That was Hadi and Naughty. That was the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati, James Troiano, and Adam Tully. We will see you next week.